This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Now, we all have stuff. Some of it, you know, you'll always keep. Things like your kids' baby pictures, maybe, or a favorite bowl your mom always served her signature dish in. But what about all the other stuff? Baby clothes, sports trophies from grade school, china that's been sitting in a box unused for 30 years. Today, we're going to talk to Matt Paxton, the host of the Emmy-nominated Legacy List with Matt Paxton on PBS. He's also the author of Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff, Declutter, Downsize, and Move Forward with Your Life. He's been a featured cleaner on A&E's Hoarders. He has a step-by-step process to help you get started clearing it all out. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. We are recording today's program in advance, so we won't be able to take questions from callers today. I want to start out with, how do you know when you just have too much stuff?
Well, when the stuff brings you stress. You know, I found that we really should enjoy life. We shouldn't be overwhelmed by it. And a lot of times our stuff, like you said, whether it's something from the old or something new, if it brings us stress, then we've got too much of it.
So as you're looking around and you're trying to decide, you'd sometimes look at it and say, yeah, I know I've got too much. I need to get rid of something. And then you look at that huge, overwhelming job and say, I don't even know where to start. And so then you go back and have another cup of coffee. When you start working with people, and I'd like to take us back, because you had to do this yourself a couple of times. One of those times when your dad died suddenly and you had to do some clearing out, and also when you moved recently.
Yeah.
And had to clear out your own stuff. How did you get yourself ready?
Okay, so getting started is the hardest point, and let's put time. There's 20 years between those two events. My dad died. I did the best that I could, cleaned up all of his stuff right after he passed away. But I put a lot of stuff in boxes because I was a kid, and I didn't know what I was doing. And I carried those boxes around with me for 20 years. And then I moved last year, and I had to go through those same boxes again. The getting started is the hardest part. And so I try to stay small, like really small, space and time. And I'm talking 10 minutes. Like, I really want people to pick maybe a 1 foot or 2 foot area. I like the junk drawer or one shelf on a bookshelf.
And we all have them.
Yeah, but just one shelf. Don't try to tackle too much. If we tackle too much, it's overwhelming and we quit. Because we've been avoiding this for sometimes 20 years. It's real easy to quit when we get started. And so I tell people, just start really slow, 10 minutes, put the stuff where it's supposed to go, and then stop. And here's the hard part. Be proud of that 10 minutes. I say celebrate it. So I've jam-packed three steps there, believe it or not.
Well, you have. I mean, you have to decide which area, right? And then you give yourself 10 minutes and then celebrate it.
Yeah, and so, like, you wouldn't want to start with the garage first, right? Because that's not something you can finish in 10 minutes. We can't finish much of it in 10 minutes. But what I want you to do is get in the practice of it, the habit of it. And so I want you to do 10 minutes every night. Not 30 minutes, not 60 minutes, 10 minutes. Because the more it becomes a habit, the easier it becomes. So it's really less about the stuff, and it's more about making it a habit and kind of warming up your cleaning muscles. This sound, and as silly as that sounds,
so when
you
you're,
have to get used to it.
When you're starting out, you're almost just straightening and cleaning first, sort of the easy stuff. You talk about a shelf. And I think I read in the book, you talked about, you know, throw away all that junk mail that's just sitting there waiting to go. And that's the place to get started.
I mean, that's a week of work right there, right? Just going through your junk mail 10 minutes a night. That is a week's work, and that's okay. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is, and it's practice.
Well, and I guess also when that junk mail comes, the next time you're going to put it right in the trash as opposed to leaving it sit on the table that you have to spend your 10 minutes on.
Yeah, I'm a big believer you don't put any bags. That if you went to Target, and you put the bag, don't put the bag down. Empty it right away. The minute you put something down, it's more likely to stay there. And so, yeah, I actually go through my mail over the trash can. I do the poor man's shred. I rip it, put it in my recycling.
Well, let's talk about taking it a little bit further from that. And you have to, now that you've done your 10 minutes and you've gotten things generally straightened, the garage is still there. The boxes that you brought from your dad's house 20 years ago are still there. And it's difficult to know what you really want. How do you decide?
So I really focus on a thing called a legacy list, which is the namesake of my show as well on PBS. And it's five or six items that tell your family story, that actually tell your legacy. And so I know that's kind of heavy and really big, but I want people to think of the five or six items that matter the most in their home. And I'm starting big. I'm starting at the top, because the reason is, once you figure out those five or six legacy list items, it's a little easier to let go of the other stuff, because you know those are the most important. Like for me, it's a gold ring of my dad's. It's a cookbook from my great-grandma, actually. It's got my great-grandma, my grandma, and my mom's recipes all in their own handwriting. Like, that is a legacy list item. No matter what, I got to keep it. We used to call this a fire list. Basically, if the house was going to catch on fire when I was working with hoarders, I would say, okay, what are the four or five most important items? If your house catches on fire, what do you need? And they would write, 100 items down. And I'd be like, that's great. You got 1 minute. Go find them. And of course, they could only find like one item. And I said, that's the point. We need to know the top five or six items that are the most important to you and your family's story. And if you start with that, then you start to realize the other stuff doesn't really matter.
I love, though, the one thing that you talk about in the book, and I really, it made me think, because I've done this with my own mom. We actually had to get a dumpster when she died because the house was so full. I won't call her quite a hoarder. It was a big house, but nonetheless. But it was hard. It was hard to make those decisions. And one of the things that you talk about in the book is, of course, you have the throwaway pile, and like the junk mail, there's some stuff that you know is going to go right away. But then you have the maybe pile. Talk about why the maybe pile is important.
All right. Maybe pile kind of seems like you're punting the decision down the road, and you are. But while you're doing that is when you start, like you talk about your mom's house, might be the house you grew up in. You're right. She's not a hoarder. You've just been there 50 years. So you're going to have a lot of stuff in 50 years. And so you're not always able to make the best decision on the first day. And so I say all the time, start the maybe pile. It's going to be the biggest pile. That's okay, but it's also the pile you're going to finish with. And what happens is you get stronger and you get a little more confident in your decisions. And so if it takes you 3 weeks to clean out a big house, I mean, that's a unique situation. You're cleaning out your homestead, really. I mean, that's what we would have called it 100 years ago.
Exactly.
And so you're cleaning, and you've got lots of memories to go through. And so that decision you would make on day one is not necessarily a decision you'd make on day 29. And so I say, put all that stuff, if you're not immediately sure, keep donate or stuff. If you don't know right away, put it in the maybe pile. And then revisit it every week. And you'll start to realize, we even found this on hoarders. So the technique I learned when I was cleaning hoarded houses. You'll find that 2 weeks later, half the stuff you weren't sure about, you're like, oh gosh, I don't need that now. But at that moment on day one, couldn't let go of it, and that's okay. The maybe pile allows you to keep going forward in the process, and it helps you not get stuck.
Something that I've dragged my husband in a little bit too, because it's hard for me to make a decision. I need him there to say, okay, but do you really need that? Because I can't always do that myself. And you talk about how it's important to have somebody to listen. And you've done that with a number of people. You've gone in and helped them clean, but you heard their stories. Why is that part important?
Well, the story is what's holding the item. Okay, the item is just a bunch of atoms, right? The item is nothing. The stories and the memories of the people that we've lost, that's what makes you hold on to the item. And so if you're by yourself in an attic, you can justify keeping that item because you already have. We justified it for the last 20 years. But when you tell those stories and you tell the memories, the exciting, the positive, I mean, I've been talking about my dad for 20 plus years now. And a lot of people know my dad, but they never met him. But they know these great stories about them. And what it is it keeps those memories alive. And so what I've learned is if you tell those stories, people, it's a little easier to let go of the item because you're laughing about the person, the moment in time, the positive joy. And you do separate that item from the person. And I just got to tell, I mean, at the end of the day, it's never about the stuff. It's always about the people that we love and we miss. And so if you tell those stories, you can start to separate those items from the stuff, or from the memories. Sorry, if you focus enough on the stories, you can actually separate the need to keep the item because you're celebrating the story, the person.
Let's talk about, though, once you decide you're ready to part with something, then there's another decision that has to be made. And I'll tell you, this is something I'm still having trouble with because I have the silver from my mother's wedding that I finally decided I can't have this anymore. And I don't use it. Nobody uses it. It's sitting in the basement. She never used it. Because you had to polish it. But I want to get rid of it now. Do I just give it away? Is it worth anything? How do you make those decisions so you're not giving away something that could be extremely valuable financially for you?
Okay. So there's two types of worth. financial worth and emotional worth. You're going to keep it if it has emotional worth. Rarely do we keep something if it has financial value. So you just said the most important thing, which was, I've decided I don't want it anymore. And I want you to put a pin in that, because you've already made the decision you don't want it or need it. What happens is, when we start researching how to sell it, we start to put a financial value on it. And that's a roadblock. That's a mental roadblock that makes us keep it. We think, oh, okay, I don't want this china. I don't want it all. But what if you found out it was worth $10,000? Are you going to keep it now? Maybe. That possible financial value puts a roadblock in front of you. But you already decided you didn't want it. And so I get people to get really focused on, okay, you've made the decision you don't want it. Now, do we donate it or do we sell it? China, I'm going to be honest, China and silver is challenging because the market is flooded with those. Right.
Because nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it. And you got to realize the largest generation to date is getting ready to pass away right now. They're downsizing. Our parents, okay, or grandparents.
Right.
And so everyone has got brown furniture right now that they're getting rid of. Everyone has the same silver sets they bought in the 50s right now. So the market is flooded with the brown furniture, china, and silver. And so they're just not worth that much. Now, you should do your research. You should go online. And you should find out how much it's worth, because there is that rare occasion that it's worth a lot of money. Mid-modern furniture right now is very valuable, very valuable. I've seen chairs go for $5,000. So you want to do your research online, and that's the beauty of the internet. You can find out pretty quickly what it's worth. I'm big with Facebook Marketplace. List it on Facebook Marketplace. If you know it's not worth a lot of money, list it on Facebook Marketplace, because you'll find pretty quickly in a day what the value is. People are going to say, oh, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $150. And what I really want you to do in this step is to know what your time is worth. You could spend 2 weeks trying to get an extra $20 out of an item. But I would argue that 100 hours you spent is worth more than $20. So for me, get it on Facebook Marketplace. If nobody wants it in 2 days, give it away on a buy nothing group. And it's all right there on the same place.
I love that idea. I have a lot of stuff I could do that with. I love that idea.
Yeah. And it gets pretty, I'll be really honest, the more I do this, the more I like donation than sell. I mean, at the end of the day, our stuff is rarely worth what it is. And most of us are in a situation where it's really not about the money. If it is about the money, you got to maximize that. And sure, that is what it is. But most of us, you will get more joy out of donating than selling, because it's never going to sell for what you think it's worth. And so
no,
I really encourage
true.
People to get excited about the joy of giving, because there are always people that need more than we do. And that gift of whatever you're giving them, your mom's china may not be that valuable to you. It's been in a box in the basement for 20 years. You just said that. But what if there was someone that really was starting their life off, and that's a really special set that they could truly enjoy? That is exciting. And to be able to donate that to someone, church or a friend, or even a friend of your mom's, right? Like someone that would really value it. That joy is bigger than any money you could get.
So my mom was a Depression era kid, and that was part of what we went through there. You know, you talk in the book about a woman mm-hmm. who saved every single rubber band she ever got because they had so little. And my mom would always say, though, well, what if I need that someday? What if I need that someday? And I think we all feel that way when we give something away or get rid of something, and then inevitably, no matter what it is, there's always going to be something that, you know, a year later you go, oh, if I just still had that, I need that. How do you get past those feelings that you still might need that someday?
Well, you just said it. There will be a point in your life where you wish you had the item that you gave away. But what we don't talk about is the 999,000 times we don't do that.
Right.
Most of the time, you don't need it. It's just stuff you didn't, you know. The old, you know, my grandma, same thing. I mean, she was absolute last kid of the Depression, but she always said, well, you come into the world with nothing and you leave with nothing. And that's the truth. I mean, I hate to burst the bubble, but we don't need any of the stuff in our house except our family, really, and maybe pets. The rest of it is, you know, it's consumable. We can rebuild it. We can re-get it. You can always re-get whatever you got rid of. There might be maybe 5 items in your lifetime that you miss. But what I want you to focus on is the space and the clarity that you got by getting rid of it. Because it is, if you're buying my book or you're watching my show, you're already worn down. The stuff is overwhelming. You want less, right? And so we're already acknowledging that this is hard on us, that too much stuff is overwhelming us. And I know a lot of people came through the pandemic and realized that. They were like, I just don't need all the stuff. And so I'm telling you, get rid of it. Let it go. There will be one item in your life. And that's okay. That's not a big deal. You'll live.
I'm talking with the author of Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff, Declutter, Downsize, and Move Forward with Your Life, Matt Paxton. He is also host of the Emmy-nominated Legacy List with Matt Paxton. You can watch that on PBS. The third season premieres January 16th. One of the other things that I really found interesting and telling for so many people is the idea of paying for storage for this stuff that you aren't using. And I admit I have used storage before, but it was when I had first gotten we had first gotten married and we had a lot of stuff we got as wedding gifts and we're in an apartment and knew we were going to buy a house. So we had that storage unit for 6 months or a year until we got a house and then put all that stuff in the house and got rid of the storage unit. But a lot of people that you talk to and that you've mentioned in the book are paying for these storage units for years and years and years.
Yeah. So you explained the way to do it properly. Storage should be a stepping stone. It should be a bridge for 6 months, no more than a year. I mean, it should only, because after a year, you don't even remember what's in there. I mean, I argue that people should only have enough stuff to show in their home. It brings them joy. Right? If you really love something and you want people to see it, then show it. It needs to have space in your home. If you say, well, I love this furniture, but I don't have space for it in my home, well, then you don't love it. You're not sharing it with people. You can get rid of other things in your home to make space for that. If you think everything else in your home is more important, then you really don't need it. And so I argue against storage, except for a short term, maybe 6 months to a year. Put the math on paper. I call it a spreadsheet decision. I use this a lot in my book and a lot on our show. We tell people, look at the math of it. Okay, I mean, and I'll just go ahead and say the example in the book. We had a lady spent like, it was $225 a month on storage because her good furniture, and she always says, that's my good stuff. It was in storage. She didn't want to, she thought it would be worth more. Well, unfortunately, 30 years later, I think is the number, she was spending $225 a month. Well, ended up being like almost $200,000+ she spent on this furniture that was worth $40,000 at the time when it went in. And when it came out, it was worth $5,000. It was only worth $5,000 when we pulled it out. So she spent $200,000 to make $5,000. The math doesn't add up. And so I tell people all the time, if you really just do the math, okay, if I hold this for a year and you factor in my time, is it really worth putting this stuff in storage? And 99 out of 100 times, it's not. You should make space for the item in your home. If it doesn't fit, then get rid of something else in your home to make it fit.
Or just know you're not going to use it. Give it away.
Or you're not going to need it. Give it away or sell it. I mean, I will argue again, giving it away is more valuable over the time, you know, span of your life than selling it. But sometimes we need to sell it, and that's okay too.
One other item that this is the thing from my mom's house I still have, and I have an entire huge, well, not huge, but fairly large closet full of pictures.
Yes.
And photos really, I think, are difficult to dispose of.
Incredibly hard.
Where do you even start? I mean, I probably have 10,000 pictures in this closet. What?
Yeah.
Where do you start?
So there's a stat that'll kill you. I said this at an interview and someone got really, they got upset. One inch, a stack of 1 inch of pictures is 100 pictures. I mean, so if you've got 10 shoeboxes full of pictures, I mean, that's hundreds of thousands of pictures that you have to go through. None of us have enough time to go through the amount of pictures that we have. We're never going to be able to tell the stories. And by the way, most of us don't know the stories behind them. And so I've got a few things I do to just call that list down first. First thing is go through all the duplicates. The duplicates and, believe it or not,
Negative.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I tell you to go through is go through the negatives and go through the duplicates and get rid of all the duplicates and all the negatives, because you've never used the negatives at this point in our life. You're not going to all of a sudden start next year. All right. So that takes out a big chunk right there. So negatives and duplicates. Then generic landscapes, which means like, oh, that's a beach. Do you know what beach it is? No, it's just a beach. And there's no one in that picture. Right? A lot of times, I mean, I find like rooms full of pictures of like mountains. Well, which mountain is it? I don't know. All right. So they're gonna do the generic landscapes, the duplicates, and then this is a controversial one, but a pictures of people you either don't know or don't like.
I mean, oh, that's
so many times I've found people like, well, who's that? Oh, that's my ex-husband's family. Great. Why are we holding on to them? I don't know. Maybe they're going to want them someday. No. In fact, most of them are dead. There's only one person left in California, right? And I haven't talked to them in 15 years. Guess what? You can let go of those pictures. And what's really going on there is there's a guilt, right? Pictures hold a lot of memories, but they hold a lot of guilt, too. We feel like a lot of times you probably have boxes of your mom's pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Boxes of your great aunt's pictures, right? Like, we all have these. And what I'm saying is it's okay to let them go because you've got to get it down to about 1,000 pictures that you can actually go through and enjoy. And so you've got to go through those pictures, people you don't like or don't know. I had one the other day. I found a picture of me from about 1820. Like, it was clearly me. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's got the same chin as me. He looks just like me. But it's clearly early 1800s. Wow. Now, that is one I wouldn't throw away yet. But I had to find somebody in my family that's alive that could tell me who that was.
Exactly. Well, that's what you do. You need a picture party, right?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly. And that's where I say, look, there might be people listening right now that they are the only person left that actually knows the stories behind a lot of, and they know the information. And so I want you to feel like it. I don't want to say it's an obligation, but it's really, it would be better for you to know the stories of 20 pictures and share those 20 pictures to the next generations than to hand someone 20 shoeboxes of pictures that they know no stories behind. Because once you and I go, those stories are gone. It is what it is. And I've seen thousands of families go through this. They say, oh, I wish I had sat down with my mom. I was going to. But we didn't get the stories. And once the storyteller is gone, that information is gone. And so I really would really just push your listeners to, hey, it's better to have the stories on 20 pictures than no stories on 20,000.
You have inspired me. I'm going to attack that closet yet.
Well, and again, I talk to, have your husband sit with you some, do it during a game or something. Like, do it so that you're able to share stories with someone because you have to have an audience to share these stories. But it all comes back, and my show and my book talk about this. It's all about the stories. It's really never about the stuff.
Matt, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, and I could go on for another half hour, but we are about out of time. This has been great. Thank you. You've inspired me.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope everyone listening, don't feel guilty about getting rid of stuff. You're allowed to have a life, not just stuff.
I love that. Well, my guest today has been Matt Paxton. He's the host of Legacy List with Matt Paxton. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Josh Elstro is our technical director. The theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.